This is JDSA's Law Talk, the program that gives you straight facts on our laws and answers questions about the topics that may affect your everyday personal and professional life.
Stories about harassing debt collectors and collection agency scams seem to be a recurring topic in the news. With all the corruption out there, many folks may question whether there are any laws keeping collection agencies accountable for their actions. In this episode of JDSA's Law Talk, attorney Devin Gray joins the show to discuss debt collection, what's legal and what's not. I'm your host, Clint Strand. Devin, always great to talk to you.
Wonderful to talk to you as well. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I'm sure we can cover a lot of ground regarding debt collection. Not exactly the most fun topic to talk about, but one certainly that if you're on the business end of this, you need to know your rights, correct?
I agree wholeheartedly.
All right, we'll talk about debt, what it is, and debt collection. That's coming your way next, right here on JDSA's Law Talk.
This is JDSA's Law Talk. Join the conversation. Send us your comments and questions to lawtalk@jdsalaw.com.
Welcome back to JDSA's Law Talk. I'm Clint Strand. However you're listening, on podcast or on our website, JDSALaw.com. Talking with attorney Devin Gray about debt collection, what's legal, what's not. Devin, let's start at the beginning, the best place to start. Let's define this here. In legal terms, when we say debt, what are we talking about?
A debt is essentially a duty or an obligation to pay money, deliver goods, provide services under an expressed or implied agreement. But today we're going to focus mostly on consumer debts, which tend to be a consumer's duty to pay money.
Okay. Basically, you gave me money at some point. I need to pay it back at some point. We made a deal and I need to repay this.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's the debtor. What about the creditor, the person who gave you money? What about them?
The creditor is the person to whom the debt is owed. It's, you know, sometimes it's a typical lender, but it can also be a car dealership, or it could also be your landlord or even your electrician if you haven't paid them immediately.
Important distinction, a debt collector is not always or not usually the creditor, right?
Exactly. And that's key for the law that we're going to talk about today. A debt collector is not the creditor. It's any person who regularly collects or attempts to collect directly or indirectly debts owed or due or asserted to be owed or due to another. Basically, that's anybody who attempts to collect a debt on someone else's behalf.
And usually we're not talking about being 3 days late on paying. This is usually seriously overdue stuff. Yes?
Exactly.
Okay. So if you are on the business end of this, for whatever reason, and sometimes medical emergencies happen, things happen that wipe you out and you are simply unable to pay, what protections are in place to ensure consumers are treated fairly?
There's a lot of laws out there that do protect consumers. The one with the most teeth is the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. That's a federal consumer protection law that protects, you know, relatively unsophisticated consumers who are in a hard spot from abuse by sophisticated bad actors who are looking to take advantage.
All right. I'm going to do a follow-up question. You said sophisticated bad actors. Give me an example. What are we talking about here?
Where this often comes up is debt purchasers. Sometimes it comes up attorneys who regularly collect debt, but it's often debt purchasers or folks who are collection agencies who are working on a contingent basis.
So people that make a business out of buying quote unquote bad debt and coming hard after folks that owe that try to get their money back.
Exactly.
So when it comes to this Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, I mean, there are real reasons why these debt collectors need to adhere to this. They could get in big trouble.
Right. The FDCPA is very broad and very debtor-friendly. It applies to pretty much anything that is in any way connected with debt collection. And there's some pretty significant penalties. Just one violation can result in up to $1,000 in statutory damages, actual damages, as well as attorney's fees.
So that's the federal act. Is there something similar on the Washington state side of things that protects consumers?
Yep. Washington law has an act that's really similar to the FDCPA. It really supplements it, provides, you know, a couple more teeth, a little bit bigger punch in places, but it largely mirrors the FDCPA. And that's the State Collections Agency Act. There's also the Consumer Protection Act, which also provides pretty significant protections for consumers, including people who are facing improper actions by debt collectors.
Talking with attorney Devin Gray about debt collection, what's legal and what's not here on JDSA's Law Talk. So let's unpack this for a minute. What are some examples of things a debt collector say cannot do?
So at base, the FDCPA says that you can't engage in abusive and deceptive behavior or practices in connection with attempting to collect a debt. You know, the easiest one, and it's actually surprising how often you see complaints about this, is when the debt collector uses obscene and profane language when they're talking to the debtor.
You bleepity bleep, you owe me my bleeping money, you better give it to me.
Exactly.
Okay. What about times a day?
So the FDCPA actually has specific provisions regarding calling at inconvenient times or inconvenient places. So generally, debt collectors have to limit their calls between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. local time. But if you're working, say, nights, and you say, it's really inconvenient for you to call me between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. local time, you know, that's my sleep time, they're required to honor that request. And some courts have even held that on their initial call, they need to ask, what time is convenient for me to contact you again?
So no 2 a.m. calls in the middle of the night.
Unless you've said that's the convenient time, no 2 a.m. calls.
Okay. What about people misrepresenting or just general deceit?
Misrepresentation or deceit is really what the FDCPA is looking to stop. So a debt collector can't really state, or they can't even imply, that they're doing anything or that they plan to do anything that they're not. So they can't imply that they're an attorney or a law enforcement officer. They can't, you know, state or imply that they're going to pursue garnishment actions or report you to a credit agency unless that's actually what they're intending to do. My personal favorite is that you can't falsely imply that the debt has been turned over to an innocent purchaser for value, and you see this a lot. So the debt collector basically says, it's not my fault that you got into this trouble, you know, you owe it. But really, in reality, they're working on a contingent basis, or they purchased your debt for cheap, and they are subject to your defenses against the original creditor.
So they can't say, I'm going to throw you in jail. And they can't say, well, gosh, it's just don't blame me. I'm just trying to collect on the debt that you owe.
Exactly.
Okay, very good. Now, I'm sure the list goes on. This is just a very small sampling of practices that they can't do.
Right. The FDCPA is very detailed, and there's a lot of things that they really cannot do.
Coming up on JDSA's Law Talk, we are talking with Devin Gray about what debt collectors are allowed or even required to do. That's next on JDSA's Law Talk.
You're listening to JDSA's Law Talk, brought to you by JDSA Law, one of the largest full-service law firms in North Central Washington.
Real estate law. The complexities are vast. At JDSA Law, our team of attorneys provide you with sound legal advice on all types of real estate transactions. This is how we make your life better. Committed to you since 1946. JDSA Law.
This is JDSA's Law Talk. Hear more Law Talk programs now at jdsalaw.com.
Welcome back to JDSA's Law Talk, talking with featured attorney Devin Gray about debt collection, what's legal and what's not. I'm your host, Clint Strand. We had talked about some examples of things debt collectors can't do. Now let's talk about things that they can, or maybe even they're required to do. Devin, what are some things that debt collectors have to do?
So first of all, debt collectors have to identify themselves in every communication that's written or oral. If they call you, they have to give what's called a mini Miranda before each call. You know, they have to give the name and address of the original creditor. They have to notify you of your right to dispute the debt. And then upon request, they have to provide verification of the debt. You know, we'll probably get into this a bit later, but you must request verification of the writing of the debt in writing within 30 days. And if they receive that request, they have a duty to actually verify the debt.
Okay, so give me an anecdote. Give me an example of what we're talking about here.
In one case that actually we're still working on, my client responded to a debt collection letter requesting verification, and the debt collector merely responded with multiple unsigned form letters. They said something along the lines of, we've reviewed your dispute and, you know, line, determined valid, line, determined invalid, or line, determined frivolous. And then, of course, there's a big black X in the determined invalid section. And you can imagine, you know, what a plaintiff side attorney looks at a form document like that with a big black X and no sign. And it's pretty obvious that, you know, verification is not really occurring.
Right. Of course. So what are other actions that a debt collector can perform?
they can file a lawsuit if it goes in that direction at the appropriate location.
We're talking about debt collectors in an almost exclusively negative light, but I think it's important to say that, you know, there are people that simply don't try to pay their debts out there, and collectors can serve a pretty important function, right?
Yeah, I'm actually really glad that you bring that up. There's a lot of debt collectors out there who do actually try to comply with the FDCPA, but there's a lot of them who don't. They serve a really important function because they do often stand as a mediator between the creditor and the debtor, and they can get the debt resolved at a reasonable discount that they or the creditor is happy with. But collectors have to ensure they're doing it properly. It's very, very difficult to comply with the FDCPA. And as we discussed before, there's some significant penalties. So it's pretty crucial to have someone who knows what they're talking about, generally an attorney, audit a collector's practice, and make sure that you're maintaining oversight over employees. And you can actually do sort of a self-audit if you use AG complaints that you receive, attorney general complaints. Use them to your advantage. Look at them. Make sure that the complaints are baseless or groundless. And if they're not, you know, make sure that you fix the problem and provide legitimate responses and demonstrate that you're really trying to get things done legally. That can go a long way.
So how are some of these things enforced then?
Government agencies can enforce the FDCPA, but it's generally primarily enforced by private lawsuits, which are filed by mistreated consumers.
I'm going to throw some common questions at you, or what I'm assuming are some common questions. Let's see if you have some answers, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, so here we go. Let's say I get a letter. I don't recognize the name of the company that's suing me. Who are they? What do I do?
Well, it's probably a collector that's purchased your debt or has been hired by an original creditor on a contingent basis, but you need to make sure that this person is legitimate. So, I mean, it sounds pretty basic, but just start with Google. Look them up. See what they are. Do they come up? Does their website look legitimate? And then I would recommend take a look at Washington's licensing database. Every debt collector must be licensed by the state. And if you look them up and you can't find them on there, there's anything else fishy, you got to get an attorney involved.
Certainly. So how long can a debt be collected?
That depends on state law. In Washington, it's generally going to be 6 years or 3 years. 6 years if your debt's based on a written contract. 3 years if it's based on an unwritten promise.
Okay, let's say I receive a call or a letter from a debt collector. My heart rate races. I freeze up. I think, oh my goodness, what's the most important thing to do right at that moment?
The most important thing, and it can't be stressed enough, is do not ignore these communications. If you do, the creditor can go get a judgment against you without providing any notice. They can garnish your wages. They can freeze your bank account. You have to take action.
Okay, so what are some of the concrete actions that you need to do?
So step one, immediately request verification of the debt in writing. I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but the debt collector must stop all collections activities until they do verify. And a lot of times there's unsavory debt collectors out there who haven't done anything to verify the debt before seeking to collect it. So it's important to make sure that they are doing that and that they're providing you with that information. And at that time, I'd also demand proof that they're authorized to collect the debt.
Now let's back up. What kind of proof is admissible then? What kind of proof counts when they say, here's proof? How do you know that it's legit?
Well, the form letter I talked about before just doesn't seem legit. But a good debt collector will provide you with the lease. Maybe, you know, let's say it's a landlord-tenant dispute. They'll provide you with the lease. They'll provide you with, you know, your statement of account. And some will provide you with a written letter that explains the basis of the debt.
What about phone calls? Is it good basically to nip phone calls in the bud?
I would. They're allowed to call you until you tell them that you'll only accept written communications. And then they have to communicate with you in writing. That's a little bit safer because you keep a clearer record of the conversations.
It's one thing if they're a bad actor. It's another thing if after all of this, you look back at your records and you go, oh my gosh, I didn't pay XYZ so long ago. And you realize that, yeah, you do owe them this money. What about then?
Well, then, as long as you've made sure that this is a legitimate debt collection agency, try and work with them. I mean, a lot of good collections agencies, they'll accept a discount. They'll work out a payment plan, but you have to be careful. You have to make sure it's not a scam, not a for-profit debt pooling scheme, and make sure that somebody's not taking advantage of you.
And that's where you get an attorney involved.
Exactly.
All right. So let's say it goes the nuclear route and there's a lawsuit and the creditor wins. What can the creditor do to me if they win a lawsuit?
They win a lawsuit, they're going to get a judgment against you. If they get a judgment against you, they can exercise that judgment. And that judgment, by the way, is going to include all the amounts that you owe, including interest and their attorney's fees. They can record that against your property, and they can use it to garnish your wages and even freeze your bank account.
There's really no way to get out of it once that judgment is offered, yes?
It's very difficult to get it vacated, which is why it's very important to respond to all communications, because if you don't, they can get a judgment filed against you without any sort of notice.
All right, so let's say I get a summons for debt collection. How do I respond to that?
File an answer with the court. Write down why you dispute the debt, or, you know, maybe you don't. And then, of course, still, you need to be filing an answer with the court explaining the situation. And then representing yourself is an option. But pro se is a pretty uphill battle. There's a common maxim, a man who represents himself as a fool for an attorney. And that's really unfortunate, but it's also kind of the hard truth. It's pretty important in this context because courts have been known to rubber stamp collection suits. So, you know, take the time to really write a legitimate answer or get an attorney involved.
If you're sitting down at a chessboard, don't expect to play checkers.
Exactly.
All right. We're talking with attorney Devin Gray about debt collections, what can be done, what can't be done, and what to do next if you find yourself on the business end of a letter. We'll bring it all together coming your way next on JDSA's Law Talk.
This is JDSA's Law Talk. Connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at JDSA Law.
Water law. It can be full of challenges. At JDSA Law, we routinely review the laws that impact ownership, management, and protection of your water rights. This is how we make your life better. Committed to you since 1946. JDSA Law.
This is JDSA's Law Talk. Hear more programs and read in-depth articles on the law at jdsalaw.com.
Welcome back to JDSA's Law Talk. I'm your host, Clint Strand. You too can join the conversation. Email us with your questions or topics you'd like to discuss on a future episode. Simply email us at lawtalk@jdsalaw.com. Talking with attorney Devin Gray about debt collection. We've covered a lot of ground, Devin. Let's bring it all together. How do we want to wrap up this conversation?
I think it's important to note there's safeguards in place to help ensure that consumers are fairly treated. And, you know, there's some good debt collectors out there, but there's also some bad ones. But if you know that what your rights are and you're proactive, getting a debt collection notice is just not the end of the world.
But it's important to know your rights and what you need to do and the next steps to take, especially if you're far along in the debt collection process. That's why it's great to talk with a lawyer.
Exactly.
All right, Devin, great stuff. Thanks so much for taking time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to JDSA's Law Talk. Visit us at jdsalaw.com to hear more programs that explain how the law applies to your everyday personal and professional life. And most importantly, how the team of attorneys at JDSA Law can help you. I'm your host, Clint Strand. Thanks for joining us on JDSA's Law Talk.
JDSA's Law Talk. Thanks for joining us, and please join us again next week. You can also join the conversation by sending us your comments and questions to lawtalk@jdsalaw.com. We'd love to include your questions in a future program. Topics covered in this program are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be professional advice. Always seek the advice of a relevant professional with any questions about any legal decision you seek to make. Thanks again for joining us on JDSA's Law Talk.